Well, you know, these few weeks, the pastoral team is speaking on issues that we do face in life. Last week, Pastor Carl talked about discouragement, you know, which is a common thing that we all face. This morning, before I speak, I just want you to watch this video.
Every day, my boss, you know him. Dear God, I come before you after another difficult day. This is hard to do, but I come to you because I need to thank you for someone in my life, someone I don't much want to thank you for, someone who is very difficult to be around, and someone I have to spend time with every day. My boss. You know him. He is such a difficult person to love. He is constantly stressed out and takes it out on everyone at the office. He is just mean. His language is abusive. He provokes me and others. He even thinks I'm weird because of my faith in you. How can I say thank you for someone like that? I know I need to be a good example. I know I should look to you through these tough times. I know I should search your word for answers. I know I should come to you in prayer. And I know I try to follow Christ's example. But I also know I'm difficult to love too. And you love me. So help me love others as you love me. So Lord, I say thank you for this difficult person because you love everyone and I want to be more like you. Thank you.
Difficult people. Have you ever met them? Put up your hand if you ever met them. Come on. John Maxwell, he is a guru of leadership. And he wrote about difficult people. And he categorized them in a few groups. He called one of them space cadet. That means the guy is always floating up in the air. You know. And then he talked about one who is like a volcano. That means easily anything, they just burst. Have you ever met such people? Quick temper. You know, they just lose control and they just shoot. Of course, he also talked about a difficult character like a policeman or a policewoman. They have to question, they have to check every time they want to know. How many of you met such difficult people? And he spoke about another character called the tank or the bulldozer. The other one must be their way or no way at all. They will bulldoze their way through anything. Difficult people. And this is what I'm speaking on this morning. Faith amidst difficult people. It would be great if we could live our faith in just these four walls. All the nice people that are here. But the trouble is that we have to live our faith outside of these four walls. And we will find difficult people in many places. The Bible talk about it. The Bible talk about difficult people, you know, with challenging relationship. You know, it starting with marriage. Have you ever considered Abraham? He has two women, Sarah and Hagar. How he had to navigate the complexity of living with two women in the same household. Then I think of Jacob. He married the two sisters, Leah and Rachel, and both of them compete for his affection. Not easy. I think the smart one is Isaac. He is the what we call the one-woman man. He really has wisdom. So you have difficult relationship in the marriage. Then you have difficult relationship within families, within siblings. You got Cain and Abel. Both of them cannot agree. What happened? Cain killed Abel. Then you have Isaac and Ishmael. Both could not stay in the same roof. One of them have to what? Have to leave. Then you have Jacob and Esau. The Jacob have to run away for his life. Joseph and his brother, how Joseph was sold as a slave. Even David and his brothers. Then we move. Difficult relationship at the workplace. How many of you have been there before? Daniel served as a great example of a person dealing with challenging co-worker. God bless Daniel. He was so blessed. And you know, when you excel, people don't like you. How many of you like that? When you excel, his peers became jealous of him and they conspire against him with accusation and deceit. But thank God, God ultimately delivered him. Difficult people in the workplace. The least that you will find, Pastor Aaron, is difficult people in the church. I mean, how could it be? But Paul encountered and he shared of difficult individual throughout his ministry. He has to face false apostle, false teacher who spread lies about him. Then he talked about Alexander the coppersmith, that did him harm. Then he talked about Demas that betrayed him. Hey, Paul in the ministry do have his fair share of difficult people in difficult relationship. Then additionally, he talked about two women when he wrote the book of Philippians, Euodia and Syntyche. Both of these two women were difficult to each other, but they didn't know their difficulty with each other do not stay with each other. In what? It spread and it affect the whole community, the church. Difficult people with difficult relationship. We live in a broken world. And this broken world is polluted with broken people. And because they are broken, they will bring their negative emotion of anger, disappointment, frustration, hurt into relationship. And this makes relating to one another very challenging. Are you in a difficult relationship? Welcome. Join the club. It's part of life that you cannot deny. This morning, I want you to know I have a fair share of difficult relationship. But I strive to reflect on my own behavior, my action, and my attitude with this conviction. And I hope you have this same conviction. Not everyone likes me. How many of you realize that? Not everyone loves me. Not everyone agrees with me. Not everyone sees things the way I do. While others can choose to be difficult, that is their choice. But as for me, I choose not to be difficult. That's what you have to do. Others can be difficult. Choose not to be difficult. I will respond to difficult people with God's perspective rather than my feeling about their behavior. I know sometimes their behavior can eat you up. But I want to respond how God wants me to respond. So when you deal with difficult people, I want you to say this with me. Say it with me together. Affirm with me together in dealing with difficult people. Say, I will not. Say it with me. I will not create enemy out of difficult people. If they choose me as an enemy, that is their responsibility. I, however, strive to be Christ-like in attitude, in action, and in words, because I place my faith and my trust in God, who knows, who sees, and who acts on my behalf. Now, when you can have these thoughts in your mind and in your heart, then you can face difficult people in difficult relationships, knowing that God is in control, that you are in His hand, that God will see you through. One of the characters in the Bible that we can use regarding living with difficult people in difficult relationships is David. David is a man, you know, he has quite a challenging, you know, difficult relationship. Let's talk about his wife, Michal. You know that King Saul said, whoever killed the giant will have my daughter as your wife. I hope David went to see her before he went to meet the giant. I don't know. But he went to kill, and Saul, as promised, this is your wife. But you know that when Saul was after David as a fugitive, Saul took his wife, Michal, and gave it to another man. And then when David became king, David took her back. And one day when David was dancing before the Lord, and Michal was looking through the letters, came and said, what kind of silly king are you doing? What are you doing? I mean, David do have a difficult relationship with Michal. Then you think about his boss, his father-in-law, King Saul. Not easy. How about his son, Absalom? His own son, Absalom, who rebel against him and wants to what? Kill him. How about Laman? When David was a fugitive, he looked after Laman and the things that he has. He never touched them, he never steal them. But Laman was so wicked that turned around to bite him. How about Shimei, who cursed him because he say that he had fought against Saul. David faced difficult people in difficult relationships. In fact, when you look some of the psalm, it's his cry to God because he went through difficult relationship. One of them is found in Psalm 95. Where he cried to God because Saul sent his men to watch over him at his house for a purpose to spy on him so that they can what? Kill him. Psalm 59 is one of them where David pleaded for divine intervention. In fact, he sent a personal SOS. Save me, O God! He sent it personally to God. Help me, O God! He read this way. Rescue me from my enemy, O God. Protect me from those who have come to destroy me. Rescue me from this criminal. Save me from this murderer. They have set an ambush for me. Fierce enemies are out there waiting, Lord. Though I have not sinned or offended them, I have done nothing wrong, yet they prepare to attack me. Wake up! Wow, David to tell God to wake up. And I think when you are going through difficult relationship, you want to tell God that the same thing. God, don't you care? Don't you know? When are you going to do something? And that's how David wrote. Through all this, he said, wake up. See what is happening with me. As if God do not know what is happening. So when David went through difficult relationship, behind closed door, he cried to God. Behind closed door. But when he faced them openly, that is where the challenge is. When he faced them openly, he controlled his emotion, he held back his tongue, and he acted wisely. As 1 Samuel chapter 18, verse 14 tells us, and David behaved wisely in all his ways. He never go for a tooth for a tooth or an eye for an eye. How about you? Can you act wisely dealing with difficult people? See, David always demonstrate grace and mercy because that will reflect the character of God. Because he trusts God. He trusts God, and his trust in God shaped his attitude, his action, and his words when he deal with difficult individual. So, how did David respond to this mad King Saul? This unyielding boss, this difficult father-in-law. In Saul's mind, Saul believed David must die for him to maintain power and for his son Jonathan to be the next king. And this consumed Saul so much that he threw a javelin at David. And this hatred for David burned so intense and so hard that when you just mention the word David, it's enough to stir him to rout out 3,000 of his chosen men to go against him. Here you see the crashes of the two worldview between these two men. Saul's action was driven by what? Fear, envy, insecurity, and jealousy. All this is rooted in this big word called what? Pride. Next PowerPoint, please. Called pride. And Saul, because of his pride, caused him to react in this way, and it created a difficult relationship. And he became a difficult person. David was different. He was courage, grace, and humility because he trusts what? He trusts God. And he was able to navigate, you know, Saul's oppressive hostility and deadly opposition. Would you respond like David? We look at 1 Samuel chapter 24, verse 1 to verse 22. Here he gives us why we should become Christ-like in our attitude, in our action, in our words, in challenging relationship. Why? Because it benefits who? It benefits you. It benefits you. And here, you find three compelling reasons why we must be Christ-like in attitude, in action, and in words, in challenging relationship, dealing with difficult people. The first reason, for conscience sake. For conscience sake. You find in verse 1 to verse 6, Saul and his men was running after, chasing after David. And when they got tired, Saul went into the cave. But he didn't know that David and his men was inside the cave. There, the man told David, "Today is your day. This is the hour. This is the time. The Lord has delivered him to you. Kill him." But David could not do it. All he did was he just cut a little bit piece of the cloth. Just a little bit. But the Bible tells us in verse, what verse was that? In verse 5, that when David did that, his conscience bothered him. His conscience bothered him. How are you like? This is your opportunity. You got your men, 600 of them with you, and saying, "This is God doing. God has delivered him to your hand. He's in front of you." Now, if David don't kill Saul, it will look as if he's not a very decisive leader. He's not a very good leader. And these people, their future is with him. He doesn't show leadership. You know, this is a chance to get even. This is a chance to settle the score. This is a chance, you know, to do what God has promised you, but this man, Saul, has denied you. All these 600 men, 600 voices, go, go, go. But David knew that this is what? This is a subtle temptation. And this moment of David is a test of what? Test of his character. Not only is it a test of his character, it is a test of what he believes. Because our character is built on what we believe. And it's a test of his character, it's a test of his belief, and it's a test of what he is really made of. Difficult people, no matter how difficult they are, let me assure you, God has put them there for one reason, to test you, to shape you, to mold you. Say amen to that. You know, one day I was telling God, this fella is a difficult person. Why don't you send him away? Have you ever prayed to God that before? Come on. I said, God, why don't you send him away? That is a good prayer. But the moment I said there, this is what the Lord said to my heart. If I send him away, I will send others to you. Because he is here to mold you, to shape you. He is here to make you a better person. How many of you like that kind of answer from God? Come on. No answer like that. So when I have this imprint so strong in my heart, you know what I say to God? God, I thank you for him. At least with him now, I know what to do. You send me a new one. It's a new game. It's a new ball. I don't know what to do with that person. So difficult people is sent by God to test and to mold our character. So how would David respond? We saw there are only three kinds of response you can have in your life. You can have a godly response, a divine response, where you return good for what? Evil. That's what God calls us, amen? God always calls us to respond with good for evil. How about the human response? The human response is this. You do me good, I do you good. You do me bad, I do you bad. You do me evil, I do you evil. That's a human response. Tick for tack. But the devilish, demonic response is what? You return evil for good. We are God's people. We are God's children. No matter where God places us, with difficult people in difficult relationships, God's desire is that we will respond with His character, divine response, where we respond good for evil. Say amen. Where we respond good for evil. So David being David, he said, look, I won't kill him. Let me just cut a little bit. I mean, to most of us, what is that little bit? But apparently with this tender heart, this little bit, you know, strike his conscience. His conscience is like an alarm bell. Click, 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 click. This is wrong. What you do is wrong. That's what conscience is. Conscience is like an alarm bell. When you do the wrong thing, you say, this is wrong. But when you do the right thing, you approve you. Yes, this is right. So David, you know, unconsciously or consciously, just say, that's a little bit. His heart was troubled. In difficult relationship, for conscience sake, for your own conscience sake, strive to have a clean conscience, a good conscience, and a clear conscience. Why? Because you cannot change the behavior of difficult people, but you can dictate your own behavior in order that you may have a good conscience to stand before God with confidence. 1 Kings chapter 3, verse, now 1 John chapter 3, verse 21 and 22. Dear friend, if you do not feel guilty, we can come to God with bold confidence. And we can receive from Him whatever we ask because we obey Him and do the things that what? Please Him. If David's conscience were defiled, would he have confidence to come to the presence of God? He wouldn't have. Would he have confidence to lift up his hand to worship and praise God? He wouldn't have. You know, but today, you know, we have become so smart that we can put our conscience aside and do something differently. We can compartmentalize our life. Our conscience, the Bible says you can't. Conscience is part of you, is all of you, it is in you. For conscience sake, never do things in a difficult relationship with a difficult people that you will regret. You want to stand before God, you want God to answer your prayer. Say amen. For conscience sake. Second reason, in dealing with difficult people in difficult relationship, strive to be a grace giver. From verse 1 to verse 7, David constrained himself and his men, and then he shouted to King Saul, my Lord and the King. Then Saul looked at him, you know, and Saul must be shocked. And he said to Saul, I could have harmed you, but I have not harmed you. You know, and he plead with Saul in verse 7 to verse 11. And he said to Saul, it proved that if I don't kill you, then what everything that people said about me is not true. Because I could have harmed you. I didn't harm you. You are the one who came hunting to kill me. I have not sinned against you. The world have this slogan that encourage you. Do not get mad. Get what? Get even. David chose a different path. He did not want to be like the world. He don't want to behave like the devil. He don't want to behave contrary to his trust and his faith and his character in God. So he chose a different path. And in choosing a different path, he restrained himself. And because he restrained himself, he was able to restrain the 600 men. When you don't restrain yourself, others will follow you. So he restrained himself. When they say to him, this is God doing, this is your moment, take control. David, a man after God's heart, restrained himself and he learned to walk away. Say the word with me, walk away. And this is the most powerful thing in difficult relationship. Don't get into an argument. Don't fight. Don't lose your cool. Walk away. Just walk away. And you can't run away. I mean, it's so important because David learned to walk away. Walk away from harmful attitude, from destructive action, and from hurtful words. Because Proverbs chapter 16, verse 32 tells, he who is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit than he who takes a city. How an example for us to learn, like David. What an example. Walk away. Just walk away. By walking away, it doesn't mean that you are a loser. By walking away, it doesn't mean you are afraid. By walking away means you can refrain yourself from doing something, from saying something that you will regret. Walk away. And he just decided to show grace. So David, when he looked at Saul, he stooped down and he bowed down to Saul and talked to Saul. This aspect, this picture of stooping down and bowing down is the picture of grace. Remember the woman caught in the adultery. They want to stone her, but Jesus stooped down and wrote, Jesus showed grace. So it is important when you deal with difficult people in difficult relationships, as a Christian, show grace. I know you say, God, he's not deserving. Let me tell you, none of us here is deserving of grace. Yet God, show us. As much as he has given to us, he called us to show grace. Because if you receive God's grace and you don't show it, that grace in you is called dead grace, lifeless grace. So God wants you to show grace in difficult relationship. Because when you show grace, this is what grace does to you. Grace begins to fill your heart. And when it fills your heart, it softens your heart. When you soften your heart, you begin to recognize that by grace, I am who I am, what I am, not by myself, but by the grace of God. Without God's grace, I will say the wrong thing, do the wrong thing, that I will, in the end, regret. Be a grace giver. Because this grace will somehow shape your speech, you know, will somehow stop you from being judgmental and stop all the pride and arrogance in you. Because the Bible says, God give what? Grace and more grace to the humble. But he opposed the proud. This grace will somehow shape your action, that you will not retaliate, you will not do things that you will regret. So David bowed down and he showed grace. And that grace is shown by him not killing Saul when he had. And that grace is shown when he opened up his mouth. You see, this one gets us into trouble. How many of you realize that? This one also make a lot of friends. So he opened up his mouth and he looked at King Saul and he said, my master, the Lord anointed, my Lord, the king. And he called him my father. Some of us will say, this man David must be silly. He is really bending himself lower and lower and lower. He is like a worm. I tell you, it's better to be a worm before God than do things and say things that you regret. The Bible calls us in Matthew chapter 5 to be grace givers. He said, pray for those who wrong you, bless those who persecute you, forgive your debtor as God has forgiven you. And David even went further. He said to Saul, You know, he said to Saul, look, I didn't want to kill you. I'm not the one. Everything that is said by others is not true. And he was prepared to want to reconcile with Saul. Romans chapter 12, verse 18 said this to all of us that is here. If it is possible, say it with me, if it is possible, if it is possible, if it is possible, I know sometimes it's not possible. So Paul never said, every time, all the time, he said, if it is possible. And he put that possibility on who? Not on God. He did not put the possibility on others. He said, if it is possible, as much as depend on who? On you. He never said as much as it depends on that person. You can't depend much on that person for what his behavior. He said as much as it depends on what? On you. You have to live with a clean conscience and a clear conscience. Because you are the one who have the answer to God. In bad, in difficult relationship and difficult people. He said, if it is possible, and it's all depending on you, live peacefully with all men. Amen? If it is possible, sometimes it is not possible. Be a grace giver. Be a grace giver. This morning, choose to be a grace giver in your attitude, action, and words. Let this grace, it's a beautiful word, the saving grace of God is also the transforming grace of God within us in difficult relationship. It is also the empowering of grace of God in us so that we respond with the right attitude, with the right action, and with the right words, especially in difficult relationship. So why do I want to do what is right? First, for conscience sake. Secondly, for grace. The reason why I respond in grace, because God has given what? His grace to me. I am just an outflow of the grace of God. Is it easy? Pastor Kara, is it easy? It's not easy. If it's easy, you don't need God. You don't need to come and hear my sermon this morning. That's where you need God. That's where you need the empowerment of His Holy Spirit. That is where you learn. You become a better person, a transformed person. The other person is not your problem. And finally, this is a very important part. The reason why we respond correctly, because we have to trust what? Trust God's judgment. In verse 12 to verse 15, may the Lord judge between us. Perhaps the Lord will punish you for what you are trying to do to me, but I will never harm you. As the old proverb says, from evil people comes evil deed. So you can be sure I will never harm you. Who is the king of Israel trying to catch anyway? Should he spend his time chasing one who is as worthless as a dead dog of us or a single flea? May the Lord therefore judge which of us is right and punish the guilty one. He is my advocate and he will rescue me from your power. Wow. What a way. May God judge you and may God judge me. What does it mean? It means this. You must be able to look at the mirror and ask yourself, am I responsible for this difficult relationship? Hello? Every single one of us, the common thought is, the reason this is difficult is because of who? That person. It's all because of you. If you were not born, if you were not here, life would have been different. It's you that make this difficult. See, but David was a very fair person. He said, God, judge between me and you. Am I a difficult person? Judge, Lord. Am I a difficult person? And I think that is a very important thing. How many of you realize that? Ask yourself, am I a difficult person? Or is that person the cause of this difficult relationship? Or sometimes it could be both of you. It takes two to tango. Sometimes it could be both of you that make it difficult. And in actual fact, that person may be difficult if you learn just to control your mouth, it would have subsided. But because you don't know how to control your mouth, it becomes what? More difficult. So to all of us who is going through difficult relationship, first thing you have to ask yourself, am I the one? It's an honest question. It's a difficult question. Have you ever asked yourself that? Put up your hand. Only a few of us. You know, one couple was giving me a very hard time. And I tried to bend left, bend right, bend forward, bend backward. I tried everything. Some people are just difficult. How many of you realize that? I know none of you are there. Some people are just difficult. So one day, I look at the mirror and say, God, is this difficult relationship? It's not my wife. Don't worry. She's an angel. I just told her, don't be a fallen one. And I really seriously look at the mirror because it went on for, you know, every now and then. I say, God, am I a difficult person? Tell me, God, if he is me, I'm prepared to change. I mean, I'm prepared to change. I'm not saying I'm perfect. I'm not saying, I may be a bit of an angel. So I look at the mirror. I say, God, why? I mean, you say, give grace, I give grace. You say this, I that. Say, Lord, I try to follow what the Bible says. Why, Lord? So, I decided to call my friend in Singapore, a pastor friend. I say, hey, I'm coming to Singapore. Can you arrange to find where is this church? Because this couple was from the church before. I'd like to see the pastor of the church. God, I want to find out. Do you want to find out, Pastor Kara? And I know my pastor friend. Stuart, don't waste your time. Never mind, forget about it. Of course he can say forget about it because it's not him going through a difficult relationship. It's me going through hell. So he said, I said. So he was not prepared to do it. All those who believe that God answered prayer, put up your hand. If you don't put up your hand, I'll pray for you. Not only God answer prayer that we say to him, but God answer prayer that we whisper to him and we say from what? Our heart. So I told God, I said, God, I really like to meet him. I don't know him. I don't know where to start, but I want to meet him. And then you just leave it. That's what leave it. Years later, I was going to Israel with my wife. In this trip, there were a few Christians. No, all were Christian, not a few Christians. And there was one pastor and his wife there. I don't know them, they don't know me. They were there, and then in the journey, he said, where are you from? Oh, I'm from Perth. Oh, you're from Perth. Yeah, we've been there for how many years? I'm passing a church. He said, do you know this couple? I said, yes. This couple was with me. But I said, they're with me, but they're no longer with me. That's all I say. With me, no longer with me. And the wife, always leave it to the wife. The wife turned around and said, did this couple give you trouble? I said, wow, this is called an open door. And you just want to put your feet there so the door don't get closed. I said, yes. I thought this is what this couple did to me. And she turned around and said, Pastor Steele, I would like to apologize to you. I said, no need to apologize to me, you are not the one. He said, this is the same thing that he has done to you, this couple has also done to us. Wow! What a relief! It's an answer prayer! is an answered prayer because you need to know deep in your heart, you are not the cause for a difficult relationship. Right, Pastor Kara? I'm sure those who come to you for counseling is always pointing finger at each other. But you need to tell yourself, as David said, judge between you and me. Let God judge. I don't want to be the one responsible for that. Then he said, that when you leave it to God to judge, then you must prepare to restrain yourself, walk away when it's necessary, be a grace giver, and do not take matter into your own hand. Listen to Romans chapter 12, verse 19 to verse 21. When you put your faith in God's judgment, dear friends, never take revenge. Say amen. Leave that to the righteous anger of God. For the scriptures say, I will take revenge. I will pay them back, said the Lord. Instead, if your enemy are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals of shame on their head. Do not let evil conquer you, but conquer evil for good. Trust God. I know you are like David. They say, wake up! God, when are you going to wake up? Don't you know what I'm going through? I know you are David. How many of you? Come on. We want God to do it instantly. But God is using this to shape your character. The end of the day, to God is your character more important than that person's behavior. Your character. Let me tell you about difficult relationship in the workplace. How many of you have that before? You know, I have never have any problem working in Singapore. Then I came here in 1986. My first job with this big Australian company, I went to hell for a few years with just one difficult person. And this difficult person not only troubles me, he troubles everybody in the office. And I think it's the fault of the manager who do not know how to control him. He was doing sales, I was doing sales. He was always in the office while I'm always out. So tell me, the one who stays in the office and the one who goes out, who will give better performance? I mean, common sense tell you right or wrong. The eggs don't come to the rooster has to go and find the eggs. So when you are performing well, just like Daniel, people envy you. People envy you and they get angry. And they are not happy, and they'll come up with all the this and that. And so every few months, he will come up with some issue. And I tell you, I'm a Christian. Love your enemy. Do good to those that persecute you. I mean, look, brothers and sisters, I have done all of that. I have done all of that. I try to be as Christ-like as possible because I'm the only Christian in the office. And he just heavy. Temptation is something that we all experience. But God knows how much you can take. God knows your breaking point. Amen? So, Daniel. And every time he's proven wrong. So, I just came back from Singapore. My father passed away. I came back from Singapore. I went to the office on that day. And here was him again creating a sin. And I tell you, for a few years I have, try to be a good Christian. I want to go to heaven, you know. But this time, he reached up to. I just came back, I just lost my father, I'm in pain, and here you are creating this problem. And not only you're giving problems, you're giving other people problems, and nobody got the guts. I went to the kitchen, I said, I will teach him a lesson that he will never forget. I'm telling you, it's by God's grace that it did not happen. It's by God's grace. My wife also didn't know. In the kitchen, I won't tell you what I did. At the door was the office secretary. And she looked at me and she said to me this word, Steward, why be like him? Well, whatever was in my hand, I dropped it. I'm telling you, you can push a person till he forgot. I was through that breaking point. What this lady did remind me of who? David. David was a man full of grace. But he met Laman. He reached the breaking point that he wronged his man. He was going to teach this fellow a lesson that he would never forget. But David met what? Abigail. And Abigail stopped him. And David said, I'm grateful for Abigail. For me, I'm grateful. I'm grateful for this office secretary that stops me. You see, God knows how much we can take. So, what is the lesson? The lesson is walk away. So what I did, I walked away, I went into my car, and I drove. Thank God for the freeway because there is no traffic light. You can keep on driving and driving and driving. And I tell you, I keep on driving. I don't know where I'm driving, but I just keep on driving with tears in my eyes. I cry to God. I say, God, you have asked me to love my enemy. You have asked me this. You have asked me. I have done everything, God. Now, it's like, David, wake up. Now I say, God, I can't take it anymore. You know what would have happened if I was not stopped. I just can't take it anymore. So I cried to God. I drove for a long time. Then I came back to office. And that was it. I have SOS to God. Send all my grievances, my hurt, my anguish, my anger, my whatever, I give to God. That's a good way to do what I did. See, you always got God that you can cry to. A shoulder that you can cry to. So I did that. And I just let it be. And life just continued. Life just continued. Then, a few months later, again! Say the word again. Some people are just like that. Again. But this time, when he turned and he pointed his finger at me, you! You know what happened? He dropped to the floor. We had to call an ambulance to bring him to hospital. And my cry to God is, God, I ask you to teach him a lesson. Not this time, a lesson. Not to take his life. He went to the hospital. A week later, he came back to the office. And from that day onward, no more trouble. Not to me or to anyone. See, the Bible says, if you trust God's judgment, don't take revenge. Pray to God. God knows how much you can take. And the time will come where He will step in. He will intervene. You see, I'm sharing with you from my own pain. But I want you to know, we need to be like David. God, judge between you and me. Asking myself, am I responsible? If I am, what am I going to do? Is the person responsible? It is, that's the person's problem. If both is responsible, then both of us need to do. I think I have spoken enough this morning. The reason the Bible encourages us when we deal with difficult relationships, not to be like them. We return good for evil. By doing that, hopefully, we will break the cycle of evil. As the Bible says, evil produces evil and more evil. But we want to be a person. We want to be a person that kill evil, subdue evil, and will not practice evil, because we want to be a person that will behave like Jesus called us to behave in difficult relationship, whether it's at home, at work, or in the church. We know that we cannot control others. We now cannot control how they act towards you. But you can control how you respond to others. And I encourage you, be like Christ. The end of the day, you will come out winning with no regrets. With no regrets. I'm thankful for what has happened in my journey, that I can say, God, I thank you for your grace, that I don't regret. Maybe today, you need to release someone to God in this difficult relationship, dealing with difficult people. You get hurt. You get wronged. They point finger at you. They say things that are not true. My question to you, do you want to act or do you want to trust God's judgment? David said, God is my advocate. He's the one that will defend me. He's the one that will speak for me. But for God to be your advocate, to speak for you, to defend you, you have to do what is what? Right. You have to. Let God be your advocate and let him deliver you. Let's pray. Let's pray. This morning, while every heart and head bowed before God, are you in a difficult relationship? Are you facing difficult people? There's a purpose for God to allow them to walk onto your path. It's to shape you, to transform you. It's for you to practice what you believe and what you are made of. Choose to be like David. Behave yourself wisely for conscience' sake. Choose to be like David. Be a grace giver. Choose to be like David. Trust in God, God's judgment, that God is the one that will defend you. He's your advocate. He's the one that will deliver you. I know sometimes you will want God to do it now, but God is working firstly in your life. This morning, who have caused a pain in your heart? I ask you to let go. Who has caused turmoil in your life? I ask you to let go. I'm sure every one of us sitting here, we have a story of difficult people, difficult relationship. I hope and I pray that the story was one of victory, not a one of regret. But I want you to know, this morning, it's time to let go. Let go of the people. Those difficult people, they are eating on you, biting you, and chastening you bit by bit. Let go of them into God's hand. Would you stand up with me? Jesus, lift your hand to the Lord. He do not condemn. He do not shame us. He said to you, my son and my daughter, your pain is my pain. I know what you are going through. But I am redemptive in everything that I do. For all things will work out together for good. To those that trust him, to those that love him. This morning, who do you have to release? Pray this with me. Dear God, pray with me aloud. Dear God, you took my sins away when I did not deserve it. I confess I am resentful of, who is the person you are resentful of? They have eaten you and bite you. Tell God the name. God knows. He wants you to confess. He wants you to speak so that you will meet your own enemy, your own weakness, and be an overcomer. Say, even though you die for me and my sin, I'm holding against. Who is that person? Say it to the Lord. Whisper to him. Tell him that name. I'm holding against that person for the way he or she is treating me. Say to God, please forgive me. I release that person. And I ask you to free me from this guilt. I stand before you. I want a clean and a clear conscience. I choose to be a grace giver and trust in your judgment. I claim your power over my life through Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. Amen. Release it to God. Release it to God. Start afresh today, Pastor Aaron.